I don't know. It's okay. You could tell me how much you paid for them. Because here's the thing. I like to commiserate over how expensive shit is with you.
Yeah. It's like a common topic of like, you know, people like to complain about how much things are increasing.
No, we're prices. Boys. I don't care. You're not. It's not like you're coming here for the first time. Yeah. Saying, "Ming it, bro. You know how much you fucking.
No.
You better enjoy them, bro.
I had the same like regretful reaction when I went to my. Because it's years I'm dating my girlfriend and I'm the fucking wop that she's dating that brings cannolis every time I go.
Every time you go over, you
not every stuff. Excuse me. Every time there's like a special occasion, birthday party, family member, this and that, I go pick up cannolis at Aladdi.
You sure you don't want a fucking cookie right now?
I'm good. I'm good. I'll have one at halftime.
Okay. Alrighty. They're very good. I can only thank you for bringing them.
Yeah. Anyways, so they fucking went up in price since I started dating her because it's been quite a long time, bro. It's like pick up a dozen cannolis cost me like $85.
A dozen cannolis, $85.
Bro, those big ones from Aladdi. I don't know the exact price, but it's not $40 anymore.
All right, what's going on, folks? Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of the Bordello. I'm joined by friend of the podcast, Mino, from the firebombing capital of Montreal in the East End. How are you, sir? You drove like 45 minutes to come out here on a Tuesday night. I appreciate you coming on. What's going on?
I'm good, I'm good. You're I just want to clarify, though, that I think RDP might be the firebombing capital.
You're not from RDP?
No, I'm from Anjou.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. You know the morphs. You know how you kind of have a hard time figuring out what is where in this neck of the woods. Once I cross a certain area, once I cross La Cordaire, it's all just the east end to me.
I'm in the area right now that my parents used to drive me around and like tell me, you know, one day if you make it, you'll live in houses like this.
You're in the area? That's, oh, here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they didn't come all the way here.
Right.
But sort of type of thing, like along the water, you know.
Well, that's a better idea than thinking that making it is going to live in Laval. Because
never told me that.
No, because they're smart. Because those WAPs who went to live in Laval and live in nice houses, standalone houses, newer.
Yeah,
it looks like all that, but up here it's the same. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing has changed up here. They're still from that same neighborhood. In their minds, they haven't severed ties. They haven't severed ties with the neighborhood. Okay, they're still one with the hood. Psychologically, it is the hood with money and no class. You know?
Sure.
Laval is not a good... Yeah, Laval... I might move there eventually at some point, but... Are you going to move there when the time comes?
It's not my first choice.
What is your first choice?
I don't want to move out.
Ever?
No, I mean, obviously. But right now, like, you know, a lot could change between now and the time I'm ready to move out. So I can't say that I don't want to move to Laval.
Okay, where do you think you'll want to move at some point?
Central Montreal.
Central Montreal. Okay, that's fair.
A bit of a boring answer.
You want to be outside of any enclave, if possible.
Sure, yeah.
Well, here's the thing about you. What I like about you is you're kind of like, I won't call you a self-hating WAP, but you have a little bit of what I have, where we'll send each other the same style of like videos and memes from Italy saying what a fucking band of degenerates they
are. There's a lot to be ashamed of.
There's a lot to be ashamed of.
But a lot to be proud of too.
Much to be proud of. Yeah, it's one of those things where only we can shit on it. But there is much to be ashamed of. And you kind of hold yourself to this higher standard where you're like, yeah, I'm better than because I know restaurants from a bunch of cultures. I'm proud of the recommendations I can give. You're one of these guys that I think would like if somebody reached out and said, hey, I need a recommendation for like a Syrian restaurant.
I like giving people advice, but I don't like to sound pretentious about it.
No. Well, you know, I don't think there's ever really a risk of that. You have enough of the old school hood in you. Like you came here bearing coffee and and cookies, you know, no one's ever really going to think you're too far off the beaten path and that you're this guy who thinks he's, you know, living in central Montreal. Now I'm going to give you recommendations on where you could eat and dine and how to live. No, you still have a little bit of the immigrant class, which is nice.
Sure.
But you don't let it define you, which is what I appreciate about you. You don't let it define you. But yeah, so the firebombing capital of Montreal is RDP. Is
that, I would assume it's not Anjou.
Isn't it crazy how easy it is to just keep a business out of business? All you need to do, anytime they're right about to open, just another Molotov cocktail. Yeah. Just a brick through the window.
Yeah.
I saw a guy who owns a franchise who I know on Facebook advertising how his business, after a period of I don't know how long, you know, on the sidelines, they were about to reopen and somebody threw a brick through the window and they got to build it back up from, you know, from the ashes. I don't know.
They tried to do that to Pizza Hut in St. Leo way back.
Pizza Hut.
I believe so. Now, unless that's sort of like a wives' tale.
Was that a thing where Pizza Hut didn't want to pay protection money?
I don't know. It's kind of like that episode from The Sopranos.
They go to Starbucks to try to get fucking pizza from Starbucks.
Like, we're just gonna open back up next week. If you
do. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh my god, you imagine, dude, just like Haitian guys living and working the East End, like not being like, bro, I'm sorry, dude. Some of them might have got it if they grew up in that area. If you grew up in the East End, you know what it is. But you're like, dude, this is a corporate operation here.
Yeah.
Every dollar is accounted for. Yeah, that's no one talks about how the corporatization of America and how the opening up of Starbucks everywhere and chains and the killing off of mom and pop shops is crippling the mafia. Because those guys have too much oversight. You can't just...
It's not right.
You can't steal from the cash register at Walmart and pay off the mob. There are going to be questions. Yeah. Walmart's going to break your knees. Either the mob breaks your knees or Walmart goes after you.
Yeah.
You're fucked either way, you know? And I feel like what kind of happens is eventually the mob realizes, we can't get through to these people. Isn't that crazy? They're more afraid of the corporation than they are of the guy right in front of you.
I think the mob's gotten to a point where they are the corporation at this point. Like, they're so, I don't know much.
It's no longer a neighborhood operation.
Yeah, they've invested, you know. Hmm. They've cleaned their money and they've put it into stocks, and now they are Walmart.
So. Sure. Yeah. No, that's fair. But you know, I don't know if you want to live out here, Matt. You know, so if the power goes out, it's gone to a point now where if it's windy out, the power is going to go out here.
Here, like you're
in this area, in this neighborhood. We got a lot of trees out here. We're basically in forest. The East End was kind of developed. The East End of Montreal is just concrete. It's just cement.
Yeah.
There's no greenery. There is where you live, actually. You got a little bit of greenery in your area.
There are some trees.
You live in a nicer area, but there are a lot of areas in the East End that are kind of just fucking, it's just cement. It's just cement, dude.
Well, RDP, because it was all developed, like, sort of, not recently, but the latest to be developed, it's all, like, they flattened the trees and everything, so there's not too many trees. There are, but that's what kills the power, right? Like, over here, you got fucking 200-year-old, 300-year-old trees that topple over when there's a bit of wind.
Yeah, no, dude, last week I was coming home from a show, and it was windy outside, and it was freezing rain, and I was like, yeah, I'm coming home, there's gonna be no power. I just got into the garage. We have the remote, and just as soon as I got into the garage, pew, fucking lights went off
for a while.
The garage. Yeah, overnight, man. Overnight, dude.
It's crazy how last year we had that power outage that lasted. I mean, it lasted here like
6 days. Six days, dude.
Us, it was 3-4 days. I felt like I was in like a third world country.
It was really cool though, because I got to feel like I was.
I mean, you completely abandoned your parents.
It was everyone for themselves.
Yeah.
We all just kind of lived our own separate lives. It was like, who's going where? Who's going to whose house?
Yeah.
My parents would go into work because they couldn't work from home like they normally do. Yeah. I would step out because I had no Wi-Fi. I think I had a live show one night.
And you did. I went.
Right. You were at that. That's right. Yeah. And I took my dog with me. I took my dog with me out into the world. I didn't know what awaited us. Yeah, dude. The street was fucking pitch black. But it was fun because it felt like we were...
We got like trauma bonded.
Yeah. It just felt like the closest, you know, I had ever felt in my life to
war.
Yeah. Wartime or just,
I mean, that was cool.
Survival, going into survival mode. COVID was, yeah.
It felt similar to COVID where like everyone's going through the mud together.
Apocalyptic. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned The Sopranos before. You said, we were talking off pod before. You said you haven't watched the whole show.
No.
You said you stopped at season 3 because you were watching with your girlfriend. Then you stopped during COVID because you would watch together. And you said you didn't see her for a long time.
Look, I'm not proud.
And you said it was longer than you were willing to admit.
That's...
And I said, hold off. I want to get into this later. How long did you go without seeing your girlfriend at the start of COVID?
I don't remember the exact amount of time, but it was more than a few weeks.
You went weeks without seeing her?
Yeah.
Because she lived at home and you lived at home.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know, talking to each other, like, miss you, baby. Oh my God, this is so hard type of thing.
I guess I said
sending letters in the mail.
No. But I did go weeks, if not over more than a month, without seeing her. Just because, you know, back then you have to make decisions with the information that you have. Everyone's kind of like, there were some people doing their own thing and we were kind of just following the rules for lack of
clarity. How do you feel now?
I don't regret it because with the information that I had back then, our family and everyone, because you sort of, the whole family has to do it, right?
I remember freaking out whenever I would have to walk out with the dog. I thought COVID's in the air.
I wasn't to that point. I mean, at the beginning, it was crazy. Like, you remember washing your groceries? We never did it, but people were washing.
I would wash groceries, yeah.
Yeah, like the fucking bags of potatoes. Like, you're there with, in the sink, bro, like washing them. Some people clean their chicken in the sink.
Yeah. No, I just, we did that, but yeah, no, I was over at Paula's house the day COVID broke out. We didn't stop. We just hid in the garage. That was our fear, is that a neighbor would rat on us. Because out here, people rat. People rat out here. Yeah. Do people rat in the East End? I feel like people still would.
No, in our area, I mean,
people don't rat, but they know what's going on. People know what's going on, but they don't
say East anything. End, and I know what you're referring to, like the St. Leo Neighborhood Watch, RDP kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not of that. And in my area, like, I don't even know the next neighbor after my immediate neighbor.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, keep separation. That's nice.
Yeah, so
I don't want to know what anyone's doing.
No one really, like, we
Chinese neighbors moved in next door 10 years ago. Yeah. A lot of Chinese people out here now.
Yeah, you've never seen them.
Don't know their last name.
Yeah, but you hear them.
One of them could walk outside and walk down the street and fucking punch me in the stomach. I wouldn't say, hey, that's my neighbor. They just punch me in the stomach. Now, granted, they're Chinese.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. there's Chinese people coming in and out of there all the time. There's an aunt, whatever. Can I say they're family? They look alike. We'll say that. They're family. They look alike. They're family.
Right.
So they look alike. And I can't.
I mean, just like your parents told me that I look familiar, even though I.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Even though you've been here before. And
I don't think they've seen me. I don't think your mom has seen me.
I might have seen those Chinese neighbors. I can't tell them apart. I don't even know their names. I don't know their name. I don't know the kid's name. They have a kid. I don't know his name. He's been here for 10 years. He speaks French with a probably Keb accent now. Don't know the kid's name. It's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's way more dignified. I do think, though, there was a lot going on those first few weeks, and we didn't know who was going to be on our side, and we just, what we would do was, Paola would give me a heads up that she was coming, and I would pull the car out of the garage, loop around once, she would sneak in, and I would just...
Oh, fuck, you went...
I would come in behind her.
Yeah.
James Bond shit. Dude, it was
fun, though.
It was a lot of fun.
That's trauma bonding. Like, everyone's going through the shit together. So I remember the first couple weeks where I was listening to the press conferences at 11 in the morning. I remember Legault with the Ministre de la Santé
You remember those?
And we're like, okay, what are they going to fuck next? Like, who's gonna lose their business next? Who's gonna lose their livelihood next?
That was so fun, though.
It was so fun. Like, seeing, like...
It's the show. It was a show. Life was a show.
Like you said, it felt like war times, and that's the closest, hopefully, we'll ever get to that.
Yeah. Yeah, life was a
show. You don't actually want to go through war, bro. You just want to cosplay it.
No. Yeah, I guess. I guess so. I'd love to see some people, you know, I'd like to see the herd get thinned a little bit during wartime, you know? Yeah. You get to see some of the weak not survive. That could be fun. My only concern is I would be one of the weak.
The problem is last time the weak got herded, it was half of Italy.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, all that was apparently they were just putting them on respirators. Apparently, like, a bunch of people in northern Italy. So here's the funny thing about COVID, right? It's a bunch of people died at the start of COVID.
I wouldn't call that funny, but
no. It's I can laugh about
comedic
it.
Comedic value to everything.
So we agree, it's funny.
Go on.
Okay. So. The thing with COVID was at the start of the pandemic, people were dying in hospitals. People were going on ventilators and dying to the point that people were like, we're running out of ventilators. We keep putting people on ventilators and they keep dying on the ventilators. But what wound up happening was we learned later that by putting people on ventilators, their lungs would collapse. So So that was killing people. You would just smoke people. So they, yeah. So they were just putting a bunch of old people in Italy on fucking ventilators anytime they would have COVID. Anytime they had the cough.
Really invasive.
And they would just, it would, yeah. And it was, I guess, before it had gotten broken down over time and before the virus had kind of gotten weakened. So I think it would just acutely affect people. They would have a bad, you know, it was a bad, like, you know, it was a bad, you know, it was a bad respiratory, you know, it was an upper respiratory illness, right?
Right.
It was a bad bug. So you kind of, you know, if anyone would have a hard time, you know, breathing, or if anyone felt sick and they would, you know, go get tested and they came up positive, I think because it was the beginning and no one really knew what it was, they weren't sending people back home. They were saying, Ming, you got to fucking stay away from everyone to prevent contagion. Get you in the hospital. Here, have a ventilator. And that just fucking smoked them.
Yeah.
And apparently that is kind of what, that's what did it, is people in Italy all just dying, dropping like flies in like Bergamo. You remember, dude?
I remember watching the TV. They were like hauling them out.
They were hauling fucking
previous historical events.
War victims, dude, like soldiers. Yeah, they were just hauling fucking bodies out of the hospitals because they were putting every fucking person they could on a ventilator. They're like, we're running out of ventilators. We can't get enough ventilators. We keep putting people on ventilators and they keep dying. We need more ventilators, and the ventilators are what was killing people.
Yeah, you know? I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Like I said, they made the decisions with the information that they had.
But it's still fun, though, to say, yeah, I didn't see my girlfriend for a month.
It was fun. We went through
that.
We
never finished The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And we never started again, bro. It's been like, what, three years since COVID?
I think it's time. You could probably.
Bro, it's because the problem is she wants to start it from scratch again. And we've already been through three seasons.
It's a good show.
A great show, but what is it? Six seasons? Five seasons?
Six, yeah.
So, bro, to start from one again.
It takes a while. The episodes are
long. We
don't
live together, so we can't binge fucking 10 episodes.
The episodes like, are on a very Sunday, long. You know? Yeah, that's.
So, right. I'm like, look, let's just watch it on our own, like, on our own time. Like, I'll fucking watch it at home.
Sure.
But.
It's worth it. It's worth getting into.
Yeah. We watched The Bear. Very good show.
Is that the one with the gay guy, or is that the one with the cook? Someone with the cook, right?
It's the main character is a it's chef. About a restaurant. It's about chef. A restaurant.
What's
in
the
Chicago.
One with the what was the one with the gay guy? It was on fucking Disney Plus. The whole plot was like Disney this steamy. Yeah, the whole plot was like this steamy homosexual relationship. I didn't watch it, but
me neither.
Okay, great. So we're that was a,
I'm not
that
in
was
tune
a,
with
that
the culture.
That was a test to make sure you're cool.
Okay.
So, oh man. So. Mino. That's not your name, by the way. We're just that's what we're calling you.
It's not far off.
It's not that. It's Change far. It's far off two. Enough. No one will get. No one's gonna pick up on what it is. But I like Mino. Mino's a good one. No one will fucking pick up on it.
Yeah.
It's
not like the last time anyone was named that was like 1980.
Yeah. Also, your name just isn't. It's a real stretch. I like it would be a stretch to get it to Mino. It would be a
not
stretch.
Really.
It would be a bit of a stretch.
Bit of an anagram. Is that what that is?
No, it's I don't think so. I like.
I'll have to search that up.
I do like the Italian naming system where my dad's Pino. My dad's got like three identities. I've talked about this on the pod. He's Giuseppe and he goes by Joe professionally, but he's Pino. His mom would call him Jeppy.
Joey Adamov.
That was his Russian alter ego when he played in a hockey tournament, and the marketing agency that ran the promo for it Ruskified their names because they were playing like the Russian Red Army.
I don't know if that would fly.
Which I feel. Imagine now you're playing in a fucking tournament and you're just and that you got to play as the Olympic athletes from Russia. You know, you're like
those don't exist anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, exactly. You know, you want to play as like the Russian national team and you got the jerseys, but they got to fucking, you know, they already pre-printed the jerseys years ago and they got to fucking draw a big X with black hockey tape across the shirt. You know. So all's right in the world. Lazio went out of the Champions League emphatically today, 3-0, lost to Bayern. Obviously, they went into the game with a 1-0 lead. It was a good spot to be in. You watched the game.
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about the game?
No, frankly. I mean, it's because I'm just going to go on and it's going to be negative and I don't.
Okay. I watched most of the game, but my girlfriend called me for 45 minutes during the game. And I had to pretend I was busy. I was like, I'm doing stuff.
You were
watching the game. Well, yeah, but the game in the background.
Yeah.
So I was watching it on my phone while I was doing shit.
Right.
So I had the game here. right? She called me, so I had to be on my phone, not knowing what's going on. At one point, 30 minutes, and I'm like, come on, what the fuck's going on?
Bro, they were playing well 30 minutes in.
At one point, I said, I gotta go, you know? And she's like, come on, just 10 more minutes. She squeezed another fucking 20 minutes out of me. So I didn't really see the second half. But,
good.
Well, you weren't really, here's the thing. You were expecting to get killed going into the first leg, right?
Into the first leg, yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem, is when they give you a little bit of hope, you know?
And they fucking
when they give you a little bit of hope, yeah. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
The Lord tooketh today.
The Lord tooketh today, dude. Well, I mean, yeah. There's not really a whole. They're how good of a team are they really?
They're not at all. The old guard is washed, unfortunately, and
it feels like the thing with Lazio is there's always an old guard there. It feels like the old guard is always at Lazio.
Yeah,
like,
because
like
the old guard is Lotito that's selling vacuums during the game.
but I just have this idea that there have always been old dogs at Lazio who need to just be gotten rid of to really take a step up. Mm. Like, I remember Tommaso Rocchi at one point.
Good player.
Good player. He was around for a while.
Yeah.
Sasha, what was it? Lulic.
Senad
Lulic, right.
Great player. He was there in Munich today.
Who was
there was a clip of him at a bar.
Who was the captain for a while? What's his name? His last name started with an S. Fucking the Bosnian guy. Is it Lulic? No, Radu. I'm thinking of Stefan Radu. Stefan Radu. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm thinking of Stefan Radu.
Up to last season.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not ideal.
Bro, he's better than the fucking guys we have playing wing back now. Now you got me riled up.
What happened to Nicolò Casale? He just...
He was dealing with some injuries this season.
Okay, so...
But he is very good. I like him as a player.
He's just not... you like him as a Lazio fan, where you're like... Kind of like I like Daniele Rugani, where I'm like... Yeah,
No. He's not bad. Bro. He's... him and Romagnoli are solid in the center. And like, our two center backs are the least of our worries.
Mm.
Our biggest worries are our wing backs. Because really only Hisai can play that position. And he's not all that great. Pellegrini...
And he's a communist.
No comment.
Listen.
He's a bit out of place on Lazio then.
He's a bit out of place. Remember when he sung Bella Ciao when he joined the team?
Oh, yeah.
He sung Bella Ciao when they joined the team. Ironic. The anti-partisan song.
Yeah.
And the ultras were not... They were null too pleased.
Yeah. Look,
who else you guys working with? Yeah, Patric.
Yeah, he also has been dealing with some injuries.
What do you do? Yeah, Patric. What is Danilo Cataldi good enough to start?
No.
In a Champions League game.
No, he didn't today. I don't know if he did the first leg.
Thought he did.
He's great at passing the ball backwards.
That's
yeah.
So am I.
So
am I. That's why I'm not sure when I play, you know, I was
the thing is never he's good never enough to sure.
Make, yeah, well, neither am I, right? So if I'm not sure if the fucking openings, when I was younger, I would make a lot of stupid passes. I would try to thread it as a defender. I would try to thread it through the midfield. It would work sometimes, but like one time out of 10, it wouldn't work. And if you make 10 of those passes in a game and you're giving away a critical ball, right?
Absolutely.
So the way I got to playing the highest level of soccer I played was anytime I would have the ball, I would just go back. I would just go back to the goalkeeper.
No,
it's definitely
you could play constructively by passing backwards 9 times out of 10, and that 10th pass is what's going to make the goal. The problem is that when you're down 2-0, 3-0 in Munich,
right,
and there's 10 minutes left,
right,
either throw in the towel and just walk to the locker room.
He might be perfect for the Italian national team.
At this point, anyone is.
No, there feels like there are a lot of guys that are very good at passing the ball backwards.
Yeah.
Like, bro, who could play a forward pass right now that's going to play that isn't sitting out the tournament with a gambling... a bit of gambling scandal.
Narrowed it down there.
Yeah, that does narrow it down. And who isn't smoking in Qatar right now. So, Verratti's out. Tonali's out. Who do we have that can play a through ball? Pellegrini, who's kind of a midfielder. Kind of.
Yeah. You got Jorginho that could take a penalty or two.
I'll accept Jorginho, sure. Right. I'll accept him as a guy who could play a forward pass. Who else is there? Can Locatelli play a forward pass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could. Our midfield's not our problem. Our midfield's not our problem.
Barella can. Yeah. There's just a few guys who I think can. But Fratesi can. He's more of a... He drives forward more. Yeah, no, I take that back. It's not that big of an issue.
No. Our issue is up front. And just to bring it back to Lazio.
Right.
Immobile needs to retire.
From football?
From
football altogether. Yeah. Yeah.
I would still respect him if you he went to so? Go retire in Saudi Arabia. Just, you know, get the bag.
He turned away big money in Saudi Arabia. Did you see that he turned money away?
Yeah, well, was that a rumor?
Apparently he turned away tons of money.
Right.
Tons. Because he was the captain of the Italian national team at the time. Spalletti had said, "You're my captain."
Right.
And then, two weeks later, he, you know, what was it? A month later for the next break, he didn't even call him up. After he had turned down money to go to Saudi Arabia, probably thinking, I'm going to play for Italy one last time. Yeah. No amount of money could pay for the experience of wearing an Italian national team shirt. And a month later, he's just he's like, oh, fuck, I'm not playing with them anymore. And now I'm just fucking twerking for these fucking fascists who won't let me sing, who won't let me sing a banger of a cult song like Bella Ciao.
He loves Lazio. I'm confident in that. And
maybe
most Lazio fans love Immobile. And they just want to see him retire with some dignity, as do I.
Yeah, I would love to know. I would love to know what every footballer's politics are in their brain. Hmm. Some of them made it clear with the Black Lives Matter kneeling, and it was like, okay, thank you for that. Now give me the ones who were doing it, begrudgingly, the ones who were doing it to not appear like a problem, but the ones who were thinking this is gay. I want to know what's really going on up here. I would love to know. How many fascists do you think are in the Italian national team set up right now?
Like fascists or people that just don't know any better?
You know, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Come on. I don't know that any of them are like the intellectual kind, like Oswald Mosley or like, yeah, I don't think any of them are that well read that they're like, yeah, actually, you know, fuck, you know. Yeah, no, I don't know how many of them would be citing Aryan theory and talking about eugenics. So let's assume that it's the second one, which is the uneducated variety. Ones who are fascists of the uneducated variety.
I don't want to justify fascism at all, but you're talking more of like Nazis.
You're anonymous, so it doesn't
really... I'm not saying anything controversial
at all. No, say anything you want.
Fascism is all good.
We're going to have Mike Lucci on the pod in a couple weeks. He's going to talk about why the trans...
Who's that?
Oh, he's this guy from the hood.
Okay.
Who I think you're aware of. He was big during COVID.
The guy who used to do the lives.
He would go on live, yeah. Yeah, the guy who you were telling me you heard me talking about on the pod last week. You're pretending to not know who he is. But yeah, him. He's going to come on the pod and talk about why it's not as bad to have cancer as it is to have a kid that's trans. So you could say whatever you want is the point. You're anonymous here.
I know. But I still want to speak honestly.
Yes, that's respectable.
Fascism is not a normal thing in Europe, but... And I'm saying this as a Lazio fan. Yeah, we get a lot of hate for, you know, having fascist fans. And anyone who does shout racist chants or anything should be banned from the stadiums.
You're not going to come at me and say that guy with the 8-8 on his jersey last year that went viral, he wasn't
really... Thomas Bassage.
No, remember the guy in the stands? Remember the guy in the stands who had the 8-8... emblematic of the HH8 being
It's like every second guy in the...
No, there was one guy who had a shirt that said Hitlerson with 8-8 as the number on his jersey, but he was apparently a German guy who went to the game. He commuted to the game. He went on a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
And a lot of Lazio fans are like, he's not really a Lazio fan. He's from Germany. As if it would be so improbable.
Right.
That someone have
No,
done
it's definitely
that.
Probable. We have a more pronounced fan base and it's more politically, you know, there's a lot of political, what's the word I'm trying to find, but...
Innuendo?
No, like, it's politically motivated. Sports and politics go together in Europe, everywhere.
There's a real pull between the two.
Yes. It's sort of like mob mentality that goes into it. And I'm not excusing racist chants or anything that you know, racist or homophobic or anything.
Let's
but
get to the chase.
Hold on. What I'm trying to say,
who's fascist?
There's fascist Juve fans. There's fascist Milan fans, Inter fans. They've just been pushed out of the stadium because
there are fascist Inter fans, and they're charting number one on the Billboard Hot 100 right now.
Was that a fascist chant?
It was a pretty nonpartisan chant by fascists.
Right. No, but I think in the Western world, we have a sheltered view, or like we think, oh, he's fascist. Like, yeah, that's crazy that they would speak outwardly, right, and say they're actual fascists. Right. Whereas in Europe, they have a different view to it. A lot of people.
Like in Filine Vellaturo, the town where my dad's from, where a guy aged 18 years old came up to me when I was a kid. I was 16. He goes, "Io sono per I duce," openly.
Yeah, that's more ignorance.
Yeah. So how many of those guys are in the national team, do you think?
Out of ignorance? I think a few.
Who do you think? To pinpoint a few. I would say...
I don't know too much about these people's personal lives.
I'll bet you Ciro Immobile is a little bit. He's got a little bit of it in him where he's kind of like... He's not pro-fascist, but I think he's probably like... And fuck it, let's just shit on it. And everyone shits on him anyway for everything else. May as well say he's a fascist too. I think he's probably like, here's how I think he thinks. Because he's an Abeledan guy. So he's kind of got this thing where he's always struggling.
From the suburb of Naples.
No? Yeah. Torre Annunziata. Yes. Yeah. That's right.
I drove through there. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do my stops.
Sorry? You didn't do it? You didn't do your stops? No. It was fun. Yeah, driving down from Naples to Calabria, just fucking...
Yeah.
Driving out from Naples to fucking Calabria, going through like all the towns.
What a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Industrial Campania along that highway. Yeah. Gomorra town is what I call it. You ever see Gomorra and they got like all this business going on the highways?
Yeah, that's in what, Scampi or?
Scampia. Yeah, well, that's up north. Yeah, but aesthetically, the entire region of Campania from like Naples to Salerno looks exactly like that.
Yes.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. It's lovely. Yeah. once you get by, if you circumvent, you know, the Amalfi Coast, once you get past like Ravello, Amalfi, once you hit Salerno,
I haven't gone that far. Like I only went south, to like Sorrento, and that's about it.
Once you get further down way down, you know, once you get further down south, you get further down the coast, it all just falls apart, and it looks like Bulgaria.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I like driving through there and just seeing all the towns that I would recognize. Like, hey, that's where Mino Raiola's from. Like a Noche da Inferiore. Yeah, yeah. Rest in peace. Fellow Mino.
Fellow
Mino. Yeah. It's the most famous Mino ever, probably, right? Who's the most famous Mino ever? It's probably him.
I can't even think of another Mino.
Who's the most famous Pino
besides ever? Myself.
Yeah, besides yourself.
Pino d'Ange.
Pino d'Ange, probably. Is there more famous Pino? Than Pino Dan. The most famous people ever is probably Pippo Inzaghi.
In our circle.
Probably. That's got to be cool. Yeah, just having a name, having a nickname, having an Italian nickname, and being the most famous guy with that nickname.
Mm.
So I think it's Pippo Inzaghi. Anyway, Ciro. I think Ciro Immobile is, because he's like a Napoletan guy, he shrugs everything off. It's like, a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I think he's kind of like, you know, saying, "Io non c'ho nessuna problema con nessuno," but so that's where it starts. I got no problems with anyone.
But if my son was a trans,
yeah, exactly. Pero figlio mio, però, how would that work? Yeah. Eventually, if he keeps having kids, if he keeps putting them in Jessica, one's gonna be a fucking trans.
Is he continuing? He only has two, right?
He's got like fucking five kids.
No,
come on, dude. If you had that much money and you're
adorable.
Fucking, he's a
good genetics.
He's a good-looking man. You can't keep off him. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
If you were... let's not be classless and talk about her. You know...
No, of course not.
If you were her and you were a straight woman and you had a husband that handsome, could you keep your hands off of him? Let's frame it that way. Let's reverse engineer it. If you were her, could you blame her for letting him continually nut inside her? He's got the fucking blue eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, one's going to be... They're going to get to 12 kids at some point. They get married at like 24, dude. She's like 32 years old, dude. They have fucking five kids. You're going to have your first kid at 32, dude.
If that.
Yeah, bro. they're going to have kids till they're like 46 years old. They're going to be putting the factory's going to be, but one's going to be a trans. One's going to be a, one of them is going to be transgender.
And so be it, bro. And Cheeto, they need more of those in Naples.
Yeah, dude, to fucking go down to the fucking.
Do they live there?
I doubt it. I doubt it, dude.
I mean, I'm sure in the off season they go back home. Is she Napolitan?
I think she's from Abruzzo. Fuck. I think
beautiful place.
I think he met her at Pescara, and the reason I know that is because I think I read it once and it stood out because it's where my mom's from. But I will say, Naples could use some more transgender prostitutes. Sure. Streetwalkers. There's a few of them. I've seen them in movies and stuff. I've seen them in movies. I think there was a transvestite in Gomorra that was like a driving place. Yeah, there was.
I didn't watch the show.
But there's a guy who dates a trans woman.
That ain't no problem.
No problem. But not for you and me, because we're evolved. But for those people, it was a problem. Let's put it that way. Yeah. It was a problem. It was a problem. Up in Scampia, you know. But yeah, man. I think it's okay. You weren't expected to be Bayern anyway. The problem is you won the first game. But then again, it's kind of nice that you did, because you didn't expect to get anything out of it. You thought you were going to get clapped both ways. And you had a couple of weeks of hope. And it's the hope that kills you.
I appreciate it, because it's not every year, definitely, that you get to actually have hope in the second leg versus a team like Bayern.
It's not every year that you get to see the goalkeeper early score a goal too. I mean,
that kind of puts into perspective how we actually got to this place, that fucking goalie had to score.
right.
That kind of ties everything together.
You had to turn to a Russian. He's not Russian. His mom's Russian.
Is she?
She is, yeah. He looks it too. He very much looks it.
He has that.
You had to call it, Ivan, bro. Ivan the Terrible.
You're right.
I mean, it's some Italians do Gennaro Ivan Gattuso. Gattuso's middle name was Ivan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a few of them, but I think that might have been a stroke of the mother, the Russian mother.
Right.
You had to rely on the Russians to come in and save you, you know, like in World War II, you know, funnily enough. But I don't know. You were going to say something.
What was I going to say? I was just saying it puts into perspective that we're not made for this. We weren't made for this.
No, you're not.
But obviously, if I really thought that we weren't going to make it, or I really didn't think, like, I would have first of all bet on Bayern, and I would have second of all not fucking left work early and told my boss straight up, like, I didn't even make bullshit up. I told him, I'm like, look, I'm going home to watch the game with my dad at 3, because this doesn't happen for a long, like, and it won't happen for a long time.
Yeah.
Went home with hope, and the first fucking 30 minutes, bro, I had hope.
What are you going to do in the summer when Italy's playing in the Euro? What card are you going to use then? Because you can only,
What time are the games at?
It's midday, dude. It's in Germany. Hmm. You know? What's the excuse going to be then? Because that's going to be, by the way, that's going to be, you could have gone home.
My boss is going to be watching the games as well.
He's a WOP?
He's
You don't want to review?
No, he's not, but he watches sports.
Okay, all right, great.
Yeah, which is the only reason why I had the balls to ask him to, like, go home for a fucking Lazio game.
Does he know what Lazio is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say you might have gotten away with it, too. I think, like, Champions League happens in the background enough of society that you can kind of avoid.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the Euro, you know, you fucking Italy's playing at 2:45. You're like, yeah, sorry, I got a doctor's appointment. It's kind of, you know. Yeah,
bro, every week I have a doctor's appointment. He's going to think I'm...
Next day he sees you on the fucking news, you know. Fucking, He sees you on the fucking, you know, he sees you on fucking CTV news. Yeah, reporting now from
NRDP.
NRDP. You just see you with your shirt off fucking outside of Sunday.
Hanging off the side of a dump truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that's, inside.
Yeah. You're dressed up like the Pope. Like, is that my employee? Oh my God. You remember the Pope? Did you see the Pope last time out?
Yeah. I was there every post game.
The Pope got arrested. Yeah.
Did he?
I think we talked about this, dude, in the pod before. But yeah, the Pope got arrested. There was a guy who would dress up as San Gennaro or the Pope.
Yeah.
Unclear.
I saw him.
In the East End of Montreal, every time Italy would win a game in the later rounds of the Euro 2 years ago, 3 years ago as it was, Yeah, he would dress up as the Pope, and he shot fireworks into the sky, and we got it on video, and the cops saw him, and they I think they arrested him, and we kind of protested, and they kind of just let him off with a warning, and he had a court date.
I dodged a ticket doing the same exact thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I actually bought, funny story, I think it was when we won the semis.
Okay.
We were watching at my house, and I was with one of my buddies, and I had gone to, because it was the same time that the Habs were
in the cup final.
In the cup finals.
Yeah.
So I stocked up on fireworks. Like, my girlfriend and I drove to Ganawage and picked up fireworks from JoJo's Pawn Shop.
Okay.
Great spot.
Okay.
Go there.
Yeah, let's support local K-Town businesses.
We
like Ganawage on this pod. We should make that clear.
Very.
No issues with them. And the more money you give them, the better. The happier you will make Salmon.
Bro, that place, I'll never go anywhere else.
It's Disney World. I was so mad when what happened with them happened, like, just a few months ago, where, like, there was
a period. JoJo's Pawn Shop?
No, just K-Town. Remember, when the clip went out a few months ago? Like, we cut a clip from when Samson was on the pod, that kid, and he fucking made a joke about how, I was saying there was a kid who got, like, flipped onto the mat during a Loyola wrestling match, and Samson said, imagine he starts scalping him, and we clipped that, and there were a bunch of moms from Ganawage who started, like, doxing the pod. I was really mad, because I was like, dude, this is Disney World. I can't not be able to show face here. I knew it was probably fine, but I was worried that, like, some jerk-off would recognize me with nothing to lose, and I really wanted to keep going there to buy cigars. So that was unfortunate. Maybe I'll send you, to broker peace negotiations.
I got a good rapport.
In the event you got okay, I'll send you to get smokes and fireworks and zins for me.
But so we stocked up on fireworks, and so I had a bag full of fireworks when Italy won the semi, and we were on our way to RDP. My friend was driving, and I had maybe $100 worth of fireworks, like, you know, those fucking Roman candles. Yeah. I had a couple boxes. I had some big firecrackers.
Would you get pulled over with them in the car?
So stupidly, I lit one up as we were driving through a residential area. And I tossed out the window, not seeing that there was a dad playing with his two kids on his curb, like on his steps.
Right.
And it fucking exploded right at their feet.
It's like Naples.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
And so I'm like, fuck. And so my friend sped off, and we were at a stoplight, and we're like, fuck, bro. Like, and then the guy pulls up next to him. Like, the guy got in his car and chased my friend, and he's yelling shit, and my friend's buzzing. And I'm like, bro, just drive. Fuck this guy. Just drive.
So
we drove off, and I was shitting my pants because I'm like, fuck, why did I do that? I'm such an idiot.
Did you think to get out and apologize to the guy instead?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I didn't feel that bad in the moment.
Okay.
But so once we got to RDP, I'm like, bro, what if they called the cops, and, like, you know, they said, because we had Italian flags on our car, they're like, go catch them in RDP.
Yeah, right.
And so I found...
That's the problem. It's pretty obvious where you're going at that point.
Yeah,
right?
So I didn't want to get caught with them. So I found the first two kids that I saw that looked like they're dumb enough to light up fireworks in a crowd of people, and I just gave them the bag.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of regretted it later on, because obviously they're not calling the fucking cops, like, oh, they just threw a firework. ESQ, like, you know, so.
So, but you got rid of the evidence.
I got rid of the evidence. Tossed it on to someone, bro.
Yeah. A tainted gun. You shot someone with a gun, and you said, here, you want to play with this?
I didn't ask for any money, bro.
Get
that was like
on it.
There was quite a few dollars worth of fireworks in that bag. But yeah, the game before then, I did light up a smoke bomb in the middle of, like, not in the middle of the crowd. Yeah. There was an open space.
Blue smoke bomb. Blue one.
Was it a smoke bomb or one of those? No, it was a smoke bomb. It wasn't a box, because I wouldn't have done something that reckless.
Like a canister, like a blue canister that just kind
of... Yeah, sort of a small one.
Sure.
And the cops sort of started walking towards me, and then I just blended into the crowd.
Yeah, but fucking, bro,
like, come on.
Yeah, they can't tell us
fireworks,
apart. Fireworks. The French cops can't tell us apart.
No.
He's fucking, yeah.
They were on horses, bro. They were on horseback in RDP.
That's unnecessary.
Definitely.
Who do they think they are? Fucking horses?
Yeah.
What, you fucking French savages outside the Bell Center? Dude, we're civilized. It's fucking wop on wop crime. Leave us be.
Yeah.
Dude, we're not fucking nobbling down on BMXs, you know? That's the problem. Here's the thing. Let me say this now. I'm in favor of the cops. The second the BMXs come out and the second people start revving in the streets, okay? Like animals in a music video in Milan.
Dirt bikes, you mean?
It's over. Yeah. Dirt bikes. Sorry, is that a
BMX would be like a bicycle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, you're more into that sort of thing, right?
Sorry.
No, it's good. Pardon me, I'm a layman. So, yeah, once the music video scene comes out, once you have guys in, like, balaclavas dancing the Rondo da Sosa in the street, once we have 16-year-olds fucking, you know, riding motorbikes in the street,
Once you have like 30
you got to bring the batons out. We got to old school policing. That's
like
what
imagine 30 guys on Vespas and mopeds without helmets with four people on the Vespa going through Tunnel Louis La Fontaine.
We should do it.
Bro, here's what we should organize that if it wasn't one lane.
Here's what I want. Okay, I want to get a bunch of people that have scooter. I was gonna say scooterized vehicles, motorized scooters. Okay. We're going to congregate. And we're going to do that thing. We're going to go V formation, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in an episode of Gomorra, through a tunnel, and we're going to film it and send it to Sky Sport.
That would break the internet.
And wait for the comments to roll in.
Yeah.
Wait for the comments to roll in, you know? Wait for the comments to roll in from, like, you know, people who hate Naples in Italy, right? That'd be fun.
Like everywhere else except Naples.
Yeah, bro. That'll be our flyover, you know? Yeah. Because in Italy, right, if we win the Euro again in Rome, they'll have the fucking military planes fly over. We'll just have the fucking scooters go through Maurice de Plessis Street, you know? Yeah. Did you know that Mussolini back in the day used to, apparently the military supplies were so low back in World War II. I learned this a few weeks ago when I watched a documentary about him after I talked about him on the pod with D'Lo. Apparently, the Italian military supplies were so depleted. And it was so unequipped. I mean, the Italian military was so unequipped. Yeah. It was comical. To the point that I think to impress Hitler, when Hitler came to Rome, Mussolini had the guys in the jets fly in circles. So it would look like they had, instead of having them fly overhead, he would have them just loop around and come back. Because I think Mussolini was trying to build up the arsenal. And then Hitler declared war. Yeah, I don't know. But it's funny. It's a funny thing to think back on, you know, like how different the world would look if Italy was competent, you know?
Mm.
If like half of Europe spoke Italian now, you know? They say we'd all be speaking German if they won the war, but what if France became Italian? That'd be kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, no, it would be cooler than Italy becoming France.
But then we wouldn't have, we wouldn't have 2006 to look back on, right?
Right.
We wouldn't have Zidane. We wouldn't have.
Can't have that, bro. You'd rob every Italian in Montreal of their culture.
Of their fucking, of their identity. The defining moment of many of their lives. Yeah. You wouldn't have Fabio Caressa just giving the most dramatic commentary ever. Zidane scores like 12 minutes into the game, and 7 minutes later, Materazzi. By the way, at the time when I was 8 years old watching that game, 9 years old, you know, I didn't really have a good sense of time because I was a kid. And I know that a game is 90 minutes long, but when Zidane scored, it was early in the game. But I thought to myself, this is bad. This is not good.
I think I remember the commentator saying like it's over. Like,
well, I remember thinking, okay, this is not good. We got scored on. I didn't think there's plenty of time, right?
Right.
There's plenty of time. And we equalized not long after, maybe 10 minutes after. Both goals were scored in like the first 25 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember when we scored that goal, it was like, oh my God, finally. Mm. And Caressa kind of echoed that sentiment because, I don't know if you remember, the call was, and I don't expect you to remember the exact call from watching it live, but you know, watching it on YouTube and stuff in Italian, right? Mm-hmm. We've all seen, like the sintesi fucking, you know, compilations,
montage.
Yeah. Caressa's call was Materazzi goal, Materazzi, siamo ancora vivi. He's like breathing. We're still alive.
I remember.
We thought we were dead for a moment. We're still alive, boys. Just so dramatic.
Great times.
Incredible, dude. Yeah, I don't know, bro. What else, dude? What did you get up to this past weekend? I got some observations. I got some things I got to run by you here. Just some fucking.
It's a real
some thoughts.
Bad weekend to ask me that because I did sweet fuck all this weekend.
Did you go to the bank or something?
No, I did less than that.
Okay. You ever go to the bank, by the way? You don't, right? You're an adult.
I mean, if I pull out cash, because I carry cash. I'm not one of these.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fair. No, but I give you a hard time for being an immigrant, but you're with it. I'm not an immigrant. No, you're with it. You're going to move to Central Montreal. You're not going to move to fucking Laval. I'm going to be more of a fucking immigrant than you. Yeah. I'm going to be fucking living among them in Laval. I like them, though, because I kind of feel like when I... No, this is a weird way to word this. Here, let me be careful about this. How do I word this like in a way that's succinct? I like the idea of being among the Italians in Laval, being a WOP myself, but who sounds like this, which is to say, sounds like he went to school.
Right.
I like the idea of being among them because I enjoy their company. In the same way that I think the king liked having serfs around him. You know what I mean?
I kind of took offense to that. I just finished saying how I'm coming here driving, looking at castles on the water from inner city Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, Anjou's not inner city, but.
You got greenery on your street. I've been to your house. Yeah. You got a pool.
I do have a pool.
Yo.
My parents have a pool.
You got to. Exactly. That's what I say. When I was a kid, people would say, man, you're fucking living in that area. You're rich. I'd say, I fucking. Got $2,000 in my account. I'm 12, you know. You know what I mean? My parents, I don't know. My parents' affairs.
Good for them, bro. I don't mean it
I understand.
Derogatory way that you live in a nice neighborhood. Good for
it is a nice neighborhood. It's safe. I like it here. I like greenery.
It's definitely
Living by. I like living among trees. It feels nice to go out and see grass and be close to a body of water, and be able to look out. You feel like you're part of it. You know. Yeah. The spirit of the Mohawk, tribes leader kind of embodies you, and you kind of say, I understand. You feel one with the land, you know? I say, this isn't my land.
Yeah.
I'm humbly, here as an invader, as an occupier, but I'm paying reverence to the land.
Until you go to Fairview.
Before me. Right. Well, because like most things, it's nice to play. Like with most things, it's nice to play a character.
Cosplay.
It's nice to cosplay.
Yeah.
It's nice to cosplay and when you're in New York, it's nice to rough it sometimes when you're alone. And when your girlfriend comes to visit you, it's nice to go to Ralph's Coffee in the Upper East Side and wear New Balance shoes. It's nice to it's nice to play.
Didn't you stay in like a boarding house with a Croatian
she was Filipina.
Filipina.
She was Filipina. And, that was me trying to tap into my creative side and wearing the same pair of shoes. And then when my girlfriend came down to visit, but we would go out into the city, we'd walk through Central Park. And
your parents know of your adventures?
They know of my adventures.
Like details?
Yeah, sure.
Because I feel like mine wouldn't have been chill with me just sleeping in someone's house.
Well, it wasn't a house. It was a dorm, which is probably worse. We were three people, three bathrooms at one point, but a fourth person moved in and we became four people with three bathrooms, and that was a problem. And that was the last week there, and that was when I was about ready to come back. But I
respect it a lot. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It was definitely a learning experience from what I gathered.
I was cosplaying. I live in an area with trees, but then I was some, you know, and a lot of people in New York are cosplaying. They're playing.
Especially the rich people.
Half the people in Brooklyn are cosplaying, dude. They're fucking, they're
rich people love to seem like they're poor.
They love it.
They love acting.
Not shaving, whatever.
Yeah, traveling and shaving their head and.
You don't do that much, which is what I like. You do what you do. You do what you're gonna do. That's what I like about you. No, but I'm telling you what I like about you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
The thing about you is you do what you're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? You don't kind of hold on to, you don't hold on to the culture like a lot of people do. A lot of people hold on to the culture and say this is my identity. You don't really do that as much. It's part of you'll kill a pig once a year. You know you'll fucking
not
kill
personally.
A pig on a spit. No, but you know. Yeah, you kind of, you just live. You just live.
Look, there's good and bad things from everything in life, and that includes our culture.
I agree, bro.
Fortunately, there's more good than bad.
Definitely. No, definitely. I mean, here's the thing, too. Generally, there are fucked up people everywhere. I mean, look at Gianluca Scamacca's father. I mean, he's a fucking wacko. Remember him? He went into the Roma parking lot with a tire iron and smashed windows in and stuff. I'm not saying because you're Italian, you're like a good family man. But generally, the Mediterranean values are such that there's, especially in immigrant communities, again, we all know degenerates and people who've gambled it all away and so on. But there's a lot of, by and large, it's a lot of, you know, involvement in your kid's life. Culturally, there's let me try to lift my kid up.
Yeah.
Within reason. There's a lot of also my kid's an idiot, but it's like, hey, you don't say that. I'll fucking kill you if you say that about my kid. But I'll tell him he's an idiot. Yeah. Whatever. The downside of it is like sometimes I think too many kids now our age who were born here to Italian families will kind of just get a little too comfortable because they could stay at home forever and
feel attacked.
And hang on, we're in my parents' basement right now. Take it easy, all right? I'm going to keep using this. You think I'm renting a studio if I move out of here, dude? I'm coming back to fucking pod here at the house, in the coming months. No, it's great. It's a great setup. What am I going to fucking leave? We put curtains up here. I'm redecorating down here. So I will say though that the problem with coddling your kids, which a lot of the fucking immigrants do, okay? Yeah. A lot of people in our community do. They coddle the kids. In the sense that your grandparents all owned homes, so you got stuff to fall back on. There's equity. There's property in the family.
That's why, like I said before, if I lose everything that I have personally, not my family, obviously.
This is off pod. You said I wish I took more risks. If I lose my whole net worth, my life doesn't change one iota, is what you
it
said.
It doesn't, and I'm extremely privileged.
You're crazy. No, you're crazy. That's if you true, have bro. Nothing. If you have nothing, you have to restart from scratch, and you haven't like fled the country in a war torn era, and you got to go move to Mongolia, and you got to learn a new language and a new trade, and just fucking move there, and you got your wife, okay. And that's it. You're just like, I want to provide a life for my wife. We're going to restart afresh. We're hitting the reset button. Kids, go to school. Hopefully we can all make this work in this fucking country that is Mongolia. Okay, unless you're doing that, to think that you could just restart here and your girlfriend is going to be okay with it, you who lives at home, you're the same age as me. You think that your girlfriend's going to be okay with you just having nothing and now having even less of an ability to move out? You, who's like thrilled to still live at home.
I said it in the context of recognizing my privilege and just generally the privilege that people have when they stay at home with their parents. Like I do. Right. My parents encourage me to stay home as long as I want.
Right.
And save as much as I want. And I recognize that that is such an extreme privilege that not many people have. What I was trying to say by saying that I could, you know, have my bank account wiped to zero right now and my life wouldn't change was coming from an extreme place of privilege. That I should be taking risks now. I'm not. I'm following the path. I have my 9-to-5.
That's fine.
And there's no risks being taken.
That's all right.
But because you would ask me like,
well, you got to have the impetus. You got to have the thing that gets your dick hard enough to make you want to do something different. You know what I'm saying? And I think you have something. Most people do. They have an interest in a thing other than what they work on. A lot of people don't work in a field that they're necessarily all that into. Yeah. You like soccer a lot. Maybe one day you'll have a chance to get involved in soccer. So I don't know, bro. I don't know, dude. So here's the thing, dude. You say that, then one day you have kids and then life has meaning. Because then you're like, oh, now I'm just living for the kids. And you know, in a way that's not unhealthy. Some people will say that's not good. That's the thing. A lot of people will say you can't live for your kids. God forbid you live for your kids. Well, you got to live for your fucking passion. You got to open a fucking gay cafe.
What's life? You have kids. Take those risks you have kids.
But the point is, a lot of people aren't having kids now because they're being told, go open the gay cafe. Go open the cafe for gay people. Go open the cafe
more
for gay people.
Power to them.
Yeah, but go open the cafe for gay people and make your identity your passion project, which is the cafe for the gay people. I'm using that as an example. Let's go with that example, okay? Let's dive deeper with that example. The cafe for the gay people. That's my reason to be. God forbid you have kids and live through them, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, hey, let's build this business up and let's open gay cafes in cities all around the world. Let's change ideas in Italy. Let's open one up in Benevento. I won't rest until there's a gay cafe in Benevento one day. I'm going to have one in fucking Campobasso, fucking Taranto, fucking Benevento, all the dog shit cities of the south of Italy. Oh. We're going to have them all over the fucking place. We're going to have them all over the place. And we're going to build an empire, and that's good for the kids. That's one thing, but that's not what's pushed. What's pushed now is you need to have a thing going on. You need a hustle. Otherwise, you could just have a kid. Having kids is a hustle. You're running your own little fucking empire. You're running your own little world. You got a house to be. You know what I'm saying? You got a little piece of the world. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that is
it's not what I'm doing, but I'm not opposed to that. I think hopefully I can get to a place where it's going to be a longer, weirder route if it happens in entertainment and comedy. But you know, in that there are more variables that can affect me. But that's kind of what I'd like eventually. I don't want to not have a fucking, I don't want to not have a family.
What are you
going
to do at 50 years old? Come home to your wife, bro?
Yeah, well, sure.
No kids?
Yeah, that wouldn't be ideal. Yeah, no, that wouldn't be ideal.
It gives purpose to life, and I think
it's not even a case of you not having kids, though. It's also a case of you, I think, you know, being encouraged to not ever settle down. That's kind of the thing.
No, absolutely not. In this example,
no, not you, not you.
Okay, excuse me.
The example that one gets now, the example that is set for a person now is often, hey, don't even worry about committing to a person, because coming with that naturally is generally the idea that you'll start a family with them. No one's saying, hey, go date monogamously, find a wife, but don't have kids with them. Mm. It's kind of like, fuck the whole system. That's sort of what is being pushed. Fuck all of it. Don't even settle down with someone. Bone whoever you want. Open the gay coffee shop. Don't think about living for your kids. Don't think about meeting a person who you're kind of like, yeah, we vibe with. Let's just keep the bloodline going, which is kind of what it's really all about, ultimately.
Yeah.
It was a long, convoluted tangent. Here's my point. Do you have anything you want to add to?
No, I could only speak for like my own self and how I've been brought up. And it's not that.
No, you're not.
And I don't.
You're not someone who's been brought up that way. Neither am I. Most people that we know are not. But I'm talking right. about society. You know, society. No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't comment on society because I haven't heard that necessarily. Like,
haven't you? Aren't you on the internet? Pushed. Aren't you on the internet?
Maybe we don't follow. We're not in the same echo chambers. Maybe.
Well, I'm not really basking in it, enjoying it. I'm just kind of seeing what is out there. I'm seeing maybe. Contemporary media and what's pushed on television series and stuff. What's, you know, what the main takeaways are from movies nowadays. That's more what I'm talking about.
Like up with the establishment kind of thing.
Out with the establishment. No.
Not the establishment.
No, establishment's the wrong word.
What's the...
No, anti-establishment sentiment exists, but that's a different thing. I'm talking about...
That was the wrong choice
of words. Yeah, what you're talking about is... kind of wanting to uproot the traditional family unit. That's what you're talking about. You don't mean the establishment. You mean...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Look, but okay, so all but this
I,
to say...
I get some of that sentiment.
Sure, yeah. There's a natural instinct to want to have fun, but you kind of also, you have to realize that life is fun and fulfilling, you know, if you kind of do things you're interested in concurrently while, you know, having a good, healthy social... dynamic that involves people that you like, some of whom you're related to, family, some of whom you're not related to, colleagues, people you meet along the way, friends, people you've known for a long time.
Yes.
It's kind of what being a human's about, you know? But, so look, all this to say, the immigrant background is great because the family unit generally is strong. However, there's a problem now where a lot of people born in the 90s, now, recently, in the last 20, 30 years, okay, younger people, okay, kids now and young adults, I do think, hear me out on this, I do think a lot of them are, because of the fact that their families care about them and have tried very hard to foster a good, positive environment for them, I think many people who are young with an immigrant background are now at a place where they... are told that they're the best all the time and that they could do no wrong. I.e., your grandparents hear you say something mildly encouraging and they say, you should do that as a career. My brother, okay, sang in the choir in high school. My grandfather still won't let it go. He thinks he has a career as a fucking singer. My brother has the wherewithal to know he doesn't have a shot in hell, okay? Yeah. But my grandfather won't let it go. He was a tenor. He was a tenor. I heard him sing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not happening. He goes, you never know. It'll never be too late. You could be a star, boy. And it's like, no, stop this.
Yeah, but what's the use in arguing that he's not with your grandfather?
Sorry, what?
What, like, do you actually tell your grandfather, no, he's never going to be this?
We tell him that ship has sailed. My brother himself tells him, no, it's not happening. It's not happening. You got to let it go. And he's like, but you got talent. And it's like, it's actually too loving now. They're too loving with it. Where they're like, you could do anything. You know, did your grandfather at any point in time, when he would see, I don't know if he ever watched you play soccer when you were younger, about 10 years ago. Yeah. Did he ever think that you could go somewhere with it?
No one who's watched me play soccer has ever thought I could go somewhere with it.
Thank God. My grandfather still thinks that I could go somewhere.
Maybe he has a point.
You think so? You really think so, dude?
No.
fuck you.
My grandmother.
Maybe he's got a point, dude.
Actually, my whole family
thinks
I could still play piano. Last time I played was like I was 14 years old.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I went to my cousin's house recently. We had a whole cousin's reunion. We have a big family. We're like 30 cousins. Mm-hmm. And they have a piano there. And, you know, it's later in the night and everyone's like, oh, like we're talking and shit. And then they're like, oh, we have a piano. We'll play something on the piano.
Yeah.
And
we'll bleep your name. we'll bleep your name. We'll
nah,
bleep your
I said legal. Mino.
We'll bleep your legal name out.
And I'm just there, like, bro. I haven't played piano in 15 years.
Yeah. That mandolin over there, it's got a string broken. Okay? I broke the string trying to tune it.
You used to play that?
I used to play that thing for a year in grade 11.
Can you give a shot?
It's not good. You want to see me try to play the mandolin? In my grandfather's mind,
yeah. It's kind of like a bazooka.
I'm a musician. Dude. This thing is out of tune, okay? Oh my god, it sounds gross. I haven't tuned this thing for 2 months. I tuned it at Christmas when I had family over.
That's pretty good.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, dude.
That's pretty good.
I can't strum.
That's pretty good. Your grandparents think like you could still play?
You know, thankfully, I think I never exposed them enough to it.
That's
because
good.
I was kind of learning and I kind of gave up on it when I got, you know, further along into school. But they may well have thought I was good enough to play this at some professional level. I don't even know what that means. Professional mandolin.
Well, no, that's
You know what I'm saying? My grandfather would come to watch me play in the park near his house 3 years ago, senior Div 1 soccer. And he thought, you going anywhere with this? You know, my other grandfather thought that I should be a journalist because I wrote an article when I was 15 about Berlusconi for my local newspaper. My grandfather was a big communist. He was a socialist, but you know, what's the fucking difference? Anyway, he hated Berlusconi with a fucking burning passion. He has brothers in Italy who like him, funnily enough, because, you know, it's fucking Calabria and fucking Forza Italia is huge down there. I remember once my grandfather went over and was having an argument with one of his brothers about the merits of Berlusconi versus the, you know, the, I don't know, all the points that could be used as detractors, you know, to advocate for him never being involved in government again. You know, both of them on chairs, you know, like, anyway. So my grandfather hated Berlusconi, and I fucking wrote an article about him. And that was kind of wacky that he was able to be prime minister and own a soccer team. That's all I said.
Yeah.
I got honorary.
Sure, you could be a journalist.
Yeah, but technically, I got honorary citizenship from the town of Feline Vellaturo Calabria for that. I swear to Christ. Now, granted, the mayor is his nephew, but I got a certificate here somewhere, dude. I'm telling you, I got honorary citizenship of the town. In the fucking, in town hall, okay, is my name somewhere among a list of I don't know who else, probably like, there was a guy who I think became like a world famous singer who was from the town. I forget his name. It wasn't a Donald. You imagine, dude? Yeah, it's like him and me. We're like the only two, you know, global citizens of, you know, of that town.
Yeah.
Because I wrote one article. It's like anything you do is the best thing ever.
Good, bro. I applaud their optimism and their... Bro, because they came here with a dream, right? Or they came here with nothing and a dream. And they figured anything was possible. And they...
Shouldn't they want you to just be a lawyer then? If they see a kid who's focusing too much on, you know, a stupid thing, they should say, hey, you know, stay in school.
Well, maybe they don't think that highly of you.
Maybe.
As journalists, we'll stop it there.
If my brother goes on a, you know, a long, convoluted, passionate, like, political diatribe of any kind... Spewing nonsense, like spewing fucking like far left, like socialist fucking garbage, okay?
Yeah.
He's got so much chutzpah when he speaks that my grandfather just hears him speaking coherently and he kind of nods along and goes, you should get into politics. And my parents are agreeing. They're like, yeah, you know, you ever think of like starting a podcast? You know, I'm fucking there with this fucking pod, fucking slaving away, trying to get this thing off the ground.
If your parents and grandparents...
I'm like, do we need another fucking kid in this fucking house with a podcast? They're like, oh, why don't you start a blog, you know? Just start a YouTube page. That's what we need. We need to fucking start encouraging our kids to get on the internet and start spewing their thoughts. That's what we need to do is tell kids, yeah, you got the answers. More people need to hear you. Because when you're 23 years old now, you haven't had enough people out, you know, throughout your life saying, just in society generally saying, what you say matters. Because anyone could just get on the fucking internet and tweet about shit or start a YouTube channel. So now we got people saying, you should go into politics. You know who else probably, you know, got told that? Is Mussolini. Mussolini was probably yelling at his family's, you know, family parties and shit. And they were like, you should write. And he did. And it influenced a lot of people.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, you're circling the fucking skies of Rome because Hitler's over. And you're trying to, you know, you're stressing out about fucking making Brutta Figura because fucking Hitler's over. You know, who the hell knows what catastrophes could, you know, could become of Mike Adamo going into politics. You know, my brother would lead revolutions with horrible left-wing dangerous ideas because he speaks with a lot of conviction.
Yeah,
and that's dangerous. If you have a guy, who sounds like he knows what he's talking about and believes what he's saying,
well,
it's very dangerous.
We need more politicians that actually believe what they're saying and actually have a cause, maybe, whether it's left, right, wing.
We could also just shoot all extremists in the head.
That's extremism. That was
the deal. Yeah.
Okay.
Those guys are extremists. We'll shoot them all in the head. That's basically where we're going. It's just going to be a battle of people on both ends.
Yeah.
Saying they're extreme. We need to shoot them all. They're extreme. We need to shoot them all. Ironically, both being so extreme that they think they got to shoot their political opponents.
Yeah.
That's where the world's going, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. So you didn't go to a bank this weekend. That's what we're surmising.
Funnily enough, I did.
You went to the bank.
But they would just pull out money from the ATM.
The only people that go to banks do it are immigrants and cripples.
Yeah, unless you have to open an account or something.
My theory about fucking going to the bank is you got to be a guy who's like going to deposit a fucking business check, and you're like this immigrant guy who's got like this fucking like cash business type of thing, or you're fucking you have a disability and you're fucking walking in with a cane. Yeah. The only two people that walk into banks have canes or accents.
Absolutely.
Is that fair? Yeah.
Same with the people behind the counter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
it's not a great time to actually need to go to a bank in person because there's some things that you can't do online.
I was so scared I was going to have to go to a bank yesterday because I have this credit card from TD that I hadn't used in a year. It was like an extra credit card and I couldn't log it. I actually used it because I got frauded a few weeks ago on another credit card. So while waiting for the new card, I had to pay shit. I just used the other one to buy stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
Like gas, whatever. And I needed to pay it off for the first time online. And I couldn't log in online because I hadn't used it in so goddamn long. I was so fucking scared I was going to have to go to a bank to make a fucking bill payment. I actually wound up calling them. I called the institution. I tried to get like a fucking login for my TD app. And when I got to a bar that I was supposed to perform stand-up at, I'm on hold with them for like 20 minutes. I still haven't fucking heard from them. They're saying it's going to be 5 minutes. 20 have gone by. I'm still waiting, right? I get my name down and go up at the show. I got to take a shit because I had a fucking Grande Americano yesterday from Starbucks on the way back down from up north where I went up north for a whole weekend without any sunglasses because the only time I ever fucking wear sunglasses is inside on this podcast. So I got to take a massive shit. I got a fucking marsupio around my waist, okay, like a crossbody bag. I run into the bathroom on hold and I have to fucking pivot the thing to the side so I can pull my pants down to access my penis. So I pee into the toilet bowl. I now have to shit really badly, so I ship the thing back to the front. I got my fucking phone in my hand, which I've since wiped because I'm not an animal. Don't worry. But, you know, whatever. Lysol wipe. You got to Lysol wipe your phone whenever you get back in from public.
Yeah.
We're not animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hovering over the fucking toilet. I got the phone in my hand. So
hovering.
Hovering. Squatting, like I'm doing a wall sit, okay? Yeah. Because I can't lay down the toilet paper on the fucking bowl because I got the phone in my hand as I'm shitting. Hello, this is Parvinder with TD Bank. And I'm fucking, dude, I'm on speakerphone. Someone comes into the bank. It's another comic. He's fucking like trying to heckle me while I'm like on the phone with this guy. And he's giving me a temporary password after verifying me, asking me questions that I don't know the answers to because I've never fucking used this account in my life. He goes, I'm going to give you a temporary password. He goes, the first letter is G as in Juliet. I go, what? I go, G? You mean Jill, like G as in Jillian? No, G as in Juliet. I go, like Romeo and Juliet? Yes, yes. I go, okay, you mean J? Yes, J, G as in Juliet. I go, okay. F as in Foxtrot. I go, what? Did you just say Foxtrot?
Oh, bro, that's the phonetic alphabet.
What a fucking deep cut that is. Foxtrot. Not Fox. Foxtrot. The
that's,
dance
that's
from the 1940s.
NATO phonetic alphabet, bro. Yeah. You guys dialed in.
F as in Foxtrot. I go, okay, no problem. Hit me with the next one. Just this goes on. So, yeah, but I got the password. I have to go to the bank. While I'm taking a shit. You know, my fucking quads are burning, dude. It was a fun weekend, dude. I was up in the boonies in Trombla with my buddy. This is my friend who I alluded to in the past. A couple of months ago, I alluded to the fact that a friend came down to New York to visit me for one day. And we did what's called a bang, 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 bang. So Louis C.K. and Bobby Kelly, two comics, had this bit on like the old Louis show called the bang, bang, where they would hit two restaurants back to back, like Indian and Italian type of thing. You'd feel like hell. We went around the city and had like, I think Indian food. No, we We had Italian food. Then we had fucking Mexican food. Then we had fucking Ukrainian food. Then we went to get Dominican food. So I've had, you know, I've had a bunch of great experiences with this guy eating, you know, a bunch of different fucking cuisines in my fucking piece of shit car. We had mofongo in my Civic on the way to fucking LaGuardia Airport. The other day we had fucking, we'd never done Canadian. So we had fucking Molson Canadians in the fucking, in the car going up to the chalet. You know, our fucking grandparents all immigrated here so we could drink fucking Molson Canadian in a fucking car in Tremblant. You know, it was fun. My buddy actually, I was in hell this weekend, dude. My buddy's girlfriend was sick, had a cold. I kept it at bay using some fucking junk science.
Horse paste.
Yeah, like, no. I used Betadine. I just snorted Betadine up my nose to decontaminate my nose. I'm fine. I made it out of the woods. You don't have to worry. But yeah, dude, I was in hell, dude. We're in this one fucking little cabin. I'm fucking, you know, my buddy's girlfriend was just sneezing as we're making, like, Mexican food. I was in hell, dude, you know?
It's a good memory.
My buddy actually said he was once at an Airbnb with a bunch of guys and they had one bathroom. And he took a shit outside because his buddy was taking a shit or something and he had to go really badly. So he shat in the garden. And then
the best of us, man.
Then the guy who owned the Airbnb's parents came back to the apartment, the garden later, and they see this fucking mountain of shit. It's like they thought a bear shat in the fucking garden. They had bears on the property. I don't know, bro. It was fun. It was a fun weekend. G as in Juliet. I don't know, bro. What are you going to do? This is fun, bro. I'm glad you came on. You see that JFL got canceled?
I saw that. $50 million in the hole. How does that even happen?
I'll tell you how it happens. You fucking put a lot of fucking garbage comedians up on stage, dude, for a very long time.
Didn't the...
And you have a bunch of French comedians fucking... You give yeah. The French comedy the exact same exposition as the English, where... What are there? 400 million English speakers, yeah, in North America, 10 million French speakers, and you give them the same, you know,
I'm curious, you invest in them equally. Who's going to take their spot? Because
there's going to be no festival this year, dude.
No, someone's going to take their spot.
There's not going to be a festival this year. There's no way. There's going to be no JFL festival this year, which, by the way, I'm not, I don't give a shit about because I wasn't getting on. So
I've never been to any event.
I'm happy about it because a bunch of people who I hate are now not going to get to go on Just for Laughs. So I'm very happy, you know? But I wasn't getting on this year. No one was giving me a showcase. I think I'm good. You know, that's the thing. When you're doing a thing, you're delusional enough to be like, I'm fucking better than everyone else. So you're like pissed that you're not getting an opportunity. So in my mind, I'm like, fuck it. They'll be back next year. Yeah. I'll try to get on next year.
I think
fuck everyone else that was going to get on this year. You know?
The original founder sold it a few years ago to...
He was a little handsy with the wrong people, I think.
But he made out like a bandit. Sold a fucking bankrupt business for $65 million or something.
The whole business is predicated on this fucking green monster going around fucking fucking cutting people's bike brakes.
That's a funny show.
I found out that they haven't killed Just for Laughs gags. They're still producing gags. Oh, yeah. It's the only thing
they're going to continue to operate.
I didn't even know they were still doing those gags.
Yeah. They're just under, like, creditor protection or whatever it's called. Great. It's bankruptcy.
Yeah, great. Great, dude. Whatever.
Yeah.
The one fucking good thing that Montreal comedy had going for it is that the world of comedy would descend on Montreal so I could meet people and be like, please, get me the fuck out of here. What do I got to do to get out of here? They would give me the answers. They'd be like, I like you, kid. Send me a tape. I'd be like, okay, good. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Now that's all done. I'm fucking trapped here.
No, there's going to be another festival taking the spot. Yeah, well, if not this year, definitely. Maybe not a comedy festival, but there's definitely a whole... What is it? Usually in July?
A fucking jazz fest. We're going to have another jazz festival.
Yeah.
Great. You want to bring the fucking electric racers back? What the hell was that?
Formula E?
Formula E.
I'm not any that bike over
there. Racing in
what a fucking joke.
Racing in the streets. Well, you're more into F1 and shit than I am. Why was not that
anymore.
A joke?
Not anymore.
Okay, well, you're more into racing than I am.
There's no market for it. No one wants to watch that.
A lot of people don't want to watch the kind of comedy that's on display at Just for Laughs either, let me tell you. A lot of it's fucking...
Well, people now
some of it's good, but a lot of it's not.
No, people don't even want to watch regular F1 now.
Why?
It's boring. It's the same guy who wins every single race.
That's what I'm saying. As a layman who doesn't like it, that's what I'm saying. I'm afraid to watch Drive to Survive because I think I'm going to get into it.
It's an entertaining show.
But if I watch it, then am I still... What am I going to like about it? Am I going to like the in and out?
The driver stories and, yeah, the inner workings.
Okay, but then I'm going to watch it, and the drivers who I like are never going to fucking...
They battle for the middle of the pack, and, you know, besides Verstappen, everyone else battles for whoever's behind them.
And you're going to get to see how important it is to them because of how much money's at stake for each respective...
Yeah, it's just the behind-the-scenes kind of thing.
Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll watch it tonight when this episode gets out. Fuck it, dude. I appreciate you coming by. Do you have anything you want to plug before we go?
To plug? No. I don't have any plugs.
Good. Hey,
JoJo's Pawn Shop.
You don't even have a name.
In Kahnawake.
Thank you. No, hang on. All business in Kahnawake. Go spend your money in Kahnawake.
No, I really mean that. Nicest people ever in JoJo's.
They're great people, most of them.
Yeah.
And we seem to generally get along. I have a great time every time I go there. I gassed up there going down to New York. I was checking over my shoulder.
Did you pay your taxes on the way back in?
I did what I had to do, and I'm not sure I understand your question. But
aren't you like not, or you're supposed to pay taxes on that or something? Declare like
gas?
Yeah, because you're not paying the Montreal tax or something.
You have to declare tax when you come back to the fucking city.
Are you allowed to buy cigarettes in Kahnawake?
I don't know.
I don't think so. As a white man, yeah,
you're gonna turn me away.
I don't know if buying cigarettes and bringing them back for personal consumption is technically legal, just because of like the.
Is buying $100 worth of fireworks and throwing them on pedestrians legal?
Look, we're talking about technicalities over here.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
let's eat biscotti. You've been afraid to fucking have a biscotti the whole time. It was good. You only said your name once. We're only gonna have one thing to bleep out. Is that the only thing?
Yeah, it's better than last episode. You're bleeping out the whole fucking. Organization.
Yeah, right. The Concordia thing. I might have caused a real boo boo for people. I don't know.
Apparently, we don't know. We don't have to get into.
We shouldn't get into that. No. we shouldn't get into that. Apparently, yeah, I might have fucked over a couple of people's operation. I don't really. I don't know. Let's end the pod. I'm Sam Adamo. Give me a follow. Subscribe if you're new. Toss a like on the video. And yeah, man. Mino, I appreciate you coming on. This was cool.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Appreciate you stepping in for Dilo. And yeah, folks, till next time, we'll catch you soon. Alla prossima.
Ciao.
Ciao. Stay warm. Benvenuti in GTA San Francisco. Mamma, mantenna calma, con una faccia malla tanto posso voto karma.